Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Growing America's Roofing Workforce, the podcast where we interview the people working to recruit, train, and retain the future of the roofing industry. I'm John Espenshade with the National Roofing Contractors Association. This month's topic is something that, well, frankly, when I was a kid, I don't remember anyone ever talking about it ever. But maybe it's the post-COVID world, maybe it's just part of us growing as a workplace, but the importance of mental health and the effects that positive mental health practices that businesses do and how it helps people in ways that are much bigger than just getting the job done, but it also helps get the job done too. Joining us today, we really do have an A-plus panel for you guys. We have Christy Holbrook, who is the president of Graham Roofing in West Point, Mississippi.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on here.
Thanks, Christy. We have Amber Hamilton, president of SQI Incorporated in Mukilteo, Washington.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Mandy McIntyre, owner-operator of Level Up Consultants of Cleveland, Ohio.
Thank you so much for bringing this dark topic to light.
Happy to do it. We have Curtis Sutton, visionary president of Rackley Roofing in Carthage, Tennessee.
Hey, thanks for having all of us. This is a great topic to share on.
Really appreciate you taking the time, Curtis. And then we have John Kiesel, president of Division 7 Roofing in Columbus, Ohio.
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here. Hopefully we can all participate on this and shed some light on the very important subject matter here.
I couldn't agree more, John. So getting right into it, I think the first thing that we should address is what are some things that each of you are doing in your individual companies to address mental health, not only yours, but the mental health of the people that you work with. Christy, let's start with you.
So fortunately, I found Mandy McIntyre of Level Up Consultants and was one of the first after she became a certified train-the-trainer on mental health first aid. I was trained on to be a mental health first aid person in my company, and then also got one of my job superintendents is also trained. So that was kind of our first step, was to have that training and a couple of people on our staff for that. But then that kind of got me thinking, okay, I need to write a program on mental health. So I wrote my first program, mental health program. And we do toolbox talks at least quarterly, if not monthly, about mental health and suicide prevention. We also have guys that are speakers that come in and talk to them at least two times a year about mental health and suicide. So those are some of the first steps we're taking.
All right. Thanks, Christy. So Mandy, it seems natural. Let's go to you next. So tell us a little bit about Level Up Consulting, you know, and how you approach this topic in a way that's a little bit bigger than just one company.
Yes, thank you. So Level Up Consultants, it's leadership and company culture consulting to help recruit, engage, and retain employees in the roofing and construction industry. And a big facet of that is mental health. After being with the roofing contractor for 10 years, I just saw so many issues. And it wasn't until somebody passed away from an overdose that I was like, something more needs to be done. So I became a mental health first aider. And then I became an instructor. And then I resigned from my job and started a whole company around it. And here we are today, but it's just so needed and it's so stigmatized in the industry. But I have the greatest job in the world now. I get to travel the country. I talk to different companies, doing workshops, training, speaking engagements for organizations. I'm on the Construction Suicide Prevention Week Task Force, working with OSHA to help get the resources out there, raise awareness, reduce the stigma. And so I'm just fighting the good fight here, trying to elevate our industry because construction has the worst substance use rates, the worst alcoholism rates, the worst suicide rates. And something needs to be done. So thank you for everyone here today and for the NRCA for recognizing this.
Well, it's a much bigger problem than any one individual or even one company or even one consulting group can really handle. The way that this starts to turn is if we all recognize there's an issue and we all kind of approach it together. Amber, I would love to hear from you next. What is, you know, your take on mental health, and what are some of the things that SQI is doing to address it?
Yeah, John. SQI was one of the first companies that hired Mandy. I also heard about her through NWIR and kind of networking with National Women in Roofing. And we were one of the first companies to sign up, having our whole entire company do the mental health first aid or mental health training, I guess you could say. Myself and my business partner made a decision to shut down our company for 3 days. And invest in our office staff and our field craft. I felt that there was a lot of morale around that, understanding that mental health matters to us. My saying here to all of our employees has always said, you need to be able to be a human first before you can ever be able to be our employee. And I mean that because if we don't know what's going on in their outside world other than work, it's hard for people to just show up for work and pretend none of that exists. Going back to what Mandy said, this industry also has the shut up and go to work culture. We still have several of those old school people in this industry that don't understand the mental health part. And mental health has been an issue for decades. It's just been shoved underneath the carpet. And I think Mandy's doing a phenomenal job of getting this out in front of people. And it's been really awesome to see her kind of grow and the things that she's been able to do. I follow her on all social media platforms and always like and support what she does because it is a big deal. Everybody matters and we should be making sure that all of our people are okay before they go out and, you know, are doing work for our companies, you know, and that they go home and know that they're okay.
And you mentioned a couple of things that I think, you know, You mentioned, you know, kind of the previous, let's call it hesitation, you know, to really addressing, you know, this topic and kind of that separation between, you know, how things used to be done and really how they are being done. But the word that you used, I think, might be like the first word that might have cued into what mental health awareness was and how it affects the workforce, which is the word morale. And, you know, the idea that good morale does in fact, you know, generate better quality of work, but it, you know, we're learning now all the time about how much deeper it really is than just that one word. But I think that's kind of, that might've been the genesis point for addressing this in construction in general, really.
Yeah. All of our workers know that my office first is to hold space, because there's nothing more important in my line of work than me being able to hold space. I have people come in here often to my office that will close the door and need to have a conversation to get something off their chest that's happening in their personal life. I go out on roofs, the same situation. I'm treating them like they're a human being first, less than, you know, a worker. That's important. And that's kind of like the culture that I've driven, that I'm here to hold space if that's what you need me to do. My phone is on at all times. My office door is open. I'm here 5 o'clock in the morning till 5 p.m. at night, and it's important to me. So,
well, you know, certainly efforts like that can't go unnoticed. But here, Curtis, you know, speaking about someone who is, you know, trying to lead in this space, what are some of the things that you do for your people?
I would say that, you know, for us as a company, you know, we had some leadership team members that had said, you know, they wanted to bring in Mandy and do a training on this. And I guess, you know, probably maybe something what Amber had said, I'm kind of that old school thing where, you know, you grow as a person. I would say up 5 years ago, I thought that, you know, all that stuff was just, I didn't believe in it, right? Like, I'm wrong now, but didn't know 5 years ago. I would say really up till Mandy came in, you know, I was still a skeptic of it, didn't really understand it. And then, you know, when Mandy came in, you know, we did a complete leadership training And, you know, it opened up my eyes. I guess it's just, you know, the education part of it that I had never had. So that's kind of what we've done. We started doing toolbox talks, and, you know, we're fortunate to, we have an employment engagement manager. And when we started addressing the issue company wide and started doing toolbox talks, like, we had several people that had came and spoke to Vanessa, you know, wanting some help and basically thanking Rackley Roofing for sharing this because it was real. So that's what I have to give, I guess, is that I was wrong. A lot of people are wrong, and open your minds.
And really, there's a saying that I like, that you can be wrong, but it is better to be wrong and then know that you can be right than it is to be loud wrong, which is, I know I'm right, but you're actually wrong. So that growth is, I mean, you know, this is just a snapshot, but shoot, you know, if you can change your mind and understand the value that this kind of thinking has for the benefit of your people and the industry in general, then, you know, minds can change, and, you know, definitely appreciate that.
I think that's the importance of diversity within a company, though, too, because I think that, you know, with it being so diversified, our company is that that's what's allowed me to change my mind on a lot of issues that I might not have if I wasn't surrounded by diversity.
Sure. Okay. So here, John, I'd like to know what your thoughts on all this are. What are some of the things that Division 7 doing? What are some changes that you've seen in the industry and your time in it?
We brought Mandy in as well. Seems like a pretty common thread here. And I believe we, you know, this isn't a bragging thing, but more of where this originated, we felt inclined to be her first company to come in and train and, you know, get her feet underneath of her. And if she could help our company, she could probably help just about anybody's company. So we brought in, you know, about 15 people from our staff, and Mandy took the stage and opened up our minds to how to even address an issue that may be, you know, percolating, you know, in the staff. That, and I think that's one of the issues, is feeling uncertain on how to even talk to people, you know, with liabilities and HIPAA and engagement with people in the wrong way. You could go ahead and start trying to solve a problem, then start creating one at the same time. So that training was really valuable for us to have a comfort level on how to appropriately open up dialogue and what you can say, what you should say, what you could, you know, all those things. Now we have, you know, our HR engagement manager that out on roofs, out on projects, talking to people, looking for those signs of this person just seems to emanate bad luck. And bad luck usually, you know, can kind of be associated with depression or confusion and things going wrong that just start to snowball. And we bring those people directly into a meeting and talk about what's going on and can we help unravel some of the scenarios that seem to just be constantly unfolding for them that could transition into wanting to give up on life in general. So we try to really drive a wedge in between that and into that path and get them on the right path.
And that's certainly no small responsibility, you know, but one of the things that seem to be persistent in the people who really are leading in terms of, you know, what it is to be not just someone who owns or runs a business, but to be a leader of the people who, you know, and really a caretaker to the people that, you know, work for you, is that availability and that attention to people, and knowing that, you know, in some places where there's smoke, there is fire, and it warrants being addressed. Mandy, I didn't know I was going to have an entire panel of people that just wanted to line up to sing your praises. Let's talk a little bit about Level Up. You know, talk to me about what it's like to open that dialogue for a business that might not have never had those kind of conversations before.
Well, I've been in construction basically my whole life because my parents had a small GC company. So I've just always seen the mental health issues, but it's just, it's so ingrained in the culture of construction as a whole that everyone's just kind of jaded. Like it just kind of, it is what it is. You know, it's normal for someone to be addicted to drugs. It's normal for guys to be drinking on lunch breaks or right after work or, you know, all these issues. It's normal. And so it just got to a point for me that I was just seeing too much. And I was like, and it was especially after a foreman passed away. And I was just like, there's got to be something more needs to be done. And the more I researched it, the more I wanted to get involved. And it was actually John Kiesel and I were at the IRE a couple years ago, and I was mentioning all these things I was trying to do for the company that I worked for at the time to get engagement, to keep employees thriving and happy and healthy and have them be their best selves, you know, personally and professionally. And John was like, you should start a business about that. And I did. And, you know, I had no idea what to expect. I had no business plan, no capital. I, you know, had my savings and credit cards. And I was just like, I saw a need and I didn't see enough people doing things about it. And I love talking about this and I'm very passionate. And so I was like, you know what? I'm not going to worry about money. I'm just going to focus on my passion. And so I just kind of took a huge leap of faith without knowing what to expect, how I was going to support myself. And just organically, it has really taken off just by word of mouth, mostly. I haven't even really done any hard marketing. It's just been through word of mouth because I think leaders recognize this is an issue, don't have the skills to address the issue, and the statistics show that people are dying, people are less engaged, people are having issues. And so I'm just happy to be able to provide some resources.
And it's nice to have those resources available. And I'm sure our panelists can attest to that. Real quick, you mentioned that you say some things or you open up some conversation about how people can become their best selves. I would love to know how to become my best self. So what are some tips? You know, pretend that I am someone who is tragically broken and hopelessly incomplete, but I'm interested in working on it. What are a couple of things that I should, you know, kind of internalize that might be a good step forward?
So I think the first thing is to just, you know, recognize your faults and either if there's things you can work on, work on them. If there's things that you cannot change, accept it. And I think it just goes with like self-acceptance and self-awareness really to just understand, okay, things need to change or it's not going to get better. So I think being your best self is just taking a good analysis of your overall being and saying, what do I need to work on? And then putting some steps in place to actually work on that. And this is where I think employers can really help, because I always say, if you want someone to perform well, they have to feel well. And people are more engaged when they feel aligned with their purpose and their positions at a company. So when you can align someone's true best version of themselves with their work selves, that's where you get full engagement. So I think it's important for business owners, leaders to talk to their employees and know, you know, what are they struggling with? What do they want to achieve? And align that with their work environment and their professional path as well. So it can be like this double-edged sword, so to speak, for their best selves.
Cool. All right. Chrissy, you want to weigh in?
So we're talking about resources. And if you only get one takeaway from today, it is be prepared, because I wasn't. And I've had 3 deaths by suicide and 2 others that have had mental health issues that we were dealing with. And I felt so lost and helpless and didn't know what to do for them, for my people. So finding Mandy, finding there were resources out there and being, I feel like we're more prepared now. When we first started dealing with it, my guys have been with me 30, 40, 50 years. So they were like deer in headlights, you know, why are you talking about this with me, even though we know we've had some suicide. But now they're more open to it. I think they do come to us now when they're having issues, if they want to talk, and they know that, you know, we'll listen to them and try to get them help. We've gotten several of them help. So again, be prepared. Don't be unprepared and take caught off guard. So get prepared, get trained, have a program in place in case something does happen.
All right, John.
So I think one of the critical components of the mental health awareness and avoiding, you know, episodes within your company came into focus for us when Mandy did a culture assessment of the dynamics and how people felt about working at our company, and realizing that, you know, a lot of times people come to work for a break from life, you know, like, you know, you're struggling in life. You really don't have much control over people that you love and how they're treating you and those types of things. You're kind of stuck in a lot of those situations. But when you come to work, it's a good experience for people to come to work and actually have a break from their life challenges and feel in a comfortable space. And you know, a lot of times people here, you know, they want to stay and work because they don't even want to, you know, they kind of don't even want to go home. They just want to stay here in their safe space and continue to be productive and avoid all that reality that they're facing in their life. So having a great culture that people feel good about being in your created environment for 8 to 10 hours a day is a very important component to people being able to sustain the pressures that they're facing on a daily basis once they leave.
Certainly, you know, I've experienced that personally when things are bad. I do enjoy, you know, kind of diving into the work a little bit more. Please raise your hands if you have also done that. I know this is a podcast, but for those listening, everyone is raising their hand. So in terms of other resources that some of you have called on in order to help. Mandy, what are some resources that people could access now? Anyone listening to this could access, or maybe even a Google search to try to, you know, make some of these things available to their people and some strategies.
Yes. So I think one of the biggest resources is 988. And not many people know about it. It's a free service. You can call, text, or chat. In English and Spanish, it's the crisis suicide and crisis hotline. So it's basically like 911 for mental health. And they, it's all by your area code. So if you call and you have an area code from, say, Dallas and you're living in Chicago, you'd want to tell the person on the phone where you're from so you get your local resources. But it's such a great system. It was just rolled out last year by the government. And It's just a great tool, and just not many people know that it exists. So the number is 988. And another resource is Toolbox Talks. I think that's like the best way to just introduce these topics. When you put it into Toolbox Talk format, people are a little more receptive to it because it's being shown as a safety initiative. It's being shown as a company message. And those are free at constructionsuicideprevention.com. And then one more resource I would like to add is OSHA has suicide prevention posters that are free. And they also have the 988 number on there. And those are also at constructionsuicideprevention.com. And everything on that website, and I worked with the task force. It's a great task force. So we tried to compile a great list of resources in English and Spanish. So go there, plenty of resources available. But 988, don't forget it. It's the new 911 for our mental health.
All right. Thank you, Mandy. We're going to take a quick break and remind everyone that this episode of Growing America's Roofing Workforce is brought to you by Densdeck Roof Boards. Are your clients thinking about what their roof will look like in the future? Building owners need your expertise when it comes to extending the life of their commercial roof. That's when you tell them about Densdeck Roof Boards, with three solutions to fit various design intent. Our original gypsum cover board protects against foot traffic, weather events, and fire. It also has the strength needed to support to support future roof installs like solar panels and HVAC. Use DenseDeck Prime Roof Board to enhance your roof's moisture resistance. Finally, protect your roof from extreme wind uplift and hail damage with DenseDeck Storm X Prime Roof Board. They're FM classified for very severe hail and approved single-ply membrane. So help your clients choose a resilient roofing system and make sure DenseDeck Roof Boards don't get value engineered out of your next job. You'll strengthen your rooftops and your customer relationships. Visit DenseDeck.com/stopcallbacks for more information. So getting back into our conversation with some positive effects that regularly addressing mental health has. Amber, for SQI, what are some of the things that you've noticed that are different when you start to implement strategies like the ones that Mandy brings to your people? What's that effect like?
Being intentional. I've trained our people in the office to be intentional. In Washington here, we have a large Hispanic workforce, so English is a second language or not at all. So being able to feel like they can communicate to us, and going back to my office being an open door policy, whether it's in the office or out on the roof or my phone, creating that kind of culture that you're safe, you're not being judged. I appreciate that Curtis specified that he was kind of didn't understand it, which is kind of my business partner. You kind of have that old school mentality. It's like, just like I said, going back to shut up and go to work, right? Your family doesn't matter, money, health, none of that. But in reality, we're human and we can't put that just aside. It's still in our subconscious and it's part of who we are. And so going to work, like John had said, you know, because it's, you can kind of forget about it. You forget about it, but it's still there, right? So making people feel like they're comfortable and that they matter no matter what.
Yeah. I actually heard a very clever person once say on a podcast that you need to treat them as people first. You know, that seemed like a really solid advice that I definitely didn't just hear, you know, like 20 minutes ago from you. But what are some ways that we can make sure that the employees that come into these workplaces do feel valued, especially when things are not necessarily good outside, of course, of the surprise pizza party that I feel like now has become a little bit old hat when it comes to addressing mental health. John, what are some inputs you have?
Yeah, to the point of how do you make people feel important and recognized? And, you know, as Amber said, you know, a lot of our workforce is, you know, Spanish speaking. And for a long time, you know, we've had Spanish speaking people involved with company meetings. And it just, you know, hit me last year. We were in a safety meeting. It was like half the people in this room aren't even understanding what's being said, and yet they're sitting in a room, you know, just feeling a certain kind of way. And that's a new phrase I've understanding younger people. I feel a certain kind of way, just to avoid saying what that way is. But you know, I'm sure they felt a certain kind of way. So we've taken and put Spanish speaking people in Spanish speaking presentations, and the emotional transfer that I felt from these people was incredible. I've never seen a group of people so engaged and appreciative of a safety meeting, because you know, somebody, we spent the extra effort to have it meaningful to them. So those, you know, those equity types of events that, you know, we also speak to is something we look out for, is how can we give somebody the assistance they need to augment their skill set to get them to the next level. So, you know, that's a few of the things we do to make people feel special.
So, Mandy, John tiptoed into something that I hadn't considered before, because, you know, it would be imprudent for us to ignore the fact that a lot of the roofing workforce is Hispanic. And we should certainly be aware that there are cultural differences between maybe how we're raised and how we might perceive mental health and where they might have perceived it in terms of coming from other countries with very different, you know, stigmas about mental health, maybe similar to some of the older ones in the construction industry. So could you help us unpack that a little bit? What are some of those differences, and what are some things, like John was saying, that people can do to address that for their people that are Hispanic?
Well, from everything that I've researched and read and people that I've talked with, the culture regarding mental health from a Hispanic Latino perspective is very similar to that construction mindset, where we have stigma and fear. With the Hispanic culture, there's also this sense of machismo, I've heard it said different ways, where it's this sense of men feel shamed or feel weak by saying, admitting, discussing emotions as it is, especially emotions where they aren't that leader in their mind, right? So if they're admitting that they're having problems with anxiety or depression, that takes them down the peg in that hierarchy in Hispanic cultures that we see as well. So I think it's important to address that there's different barriers with different cultures, no matter what it may be. But the Hispanic culture in particular has a much harsher stigma. And so I think it's important to offer anything that you're doing, obviously, like John said, in Spanish, by a Spanish speaker. I am now working with someone who's bilingual to help get all my stuff in Spanish, because I don't speak Spanish. And I mean, I can talk, but if someone can't understand me, then what's the point, right? But I also think it's important to get someone from your Hispanic workforce on board and have that person be the champion, because it only takes one person to step up and say, this is important for others to follow.
And that's a really interesting point, the idea of finding a champion, because it gives the opportunity to empower someone else with that responsibility that, frankly, you know, is difficult to do for anyone. Curtis.
Yeah, I think it's extremely important that you have somebody in your office that are talking with anybody that's going through the mental health issue, that it's somebody that can trust, that they can trust. Meaning, like, I know that we've had several people come to our company, but I could not tell you a single person of who it is. So when you come to our company and you have any issues or concerns, it's not going to get out by the person that you speak with. And I think that's important, because for somebody like me, if I have an issue, I want to be able to go to somebody that the whole entire company is not going to find out that I have a problem. And so I think that if, you know, to any of the companies that are out there that's listening, if you're not passionate about it, find somebody that is, and it will make a difference in your company. But I would also say, just because I didn't understand mental health, that I've always cared about our employees. So I also want to make sure that people out there that are listening today, we're not saying because you didn't care before that you didn't care about your employees, because I've always cared about the employees at Rackley Roofing. I just didn't know that subject and never talked to anybody about that subject. So.
Yeah, I mean, the openness to educating and learning new ways is important. I used to not like pickles or olives, but, you know, fortunately now I have matured and grown, much like you have, except I think one of us is benefiting more than the other. Christy.
So I was on a talk recently about mental health, and it was something that we're going to start doing that I hadn't thought of before, and that was send the information home to their families. Because when I do talk to my employees about mental health, I tell, you know, this may not apply to you, but you may help someone in your family, you may help a child, a friend. So I thought that was a very interesting thing that I will start doing, is sending the information home to the family to share with them.
And that's one thing that we've heard a lot. We've kind of like touched on it in other episodes of Growing America's Roofing Workforce, is the importance of the community around the employee, not just on the job site or, you know, in the shop or whatever, but very much at home. And the more things that everyone can do to strengthen both of those communities. The at work and the at home aspect is going to do a world of good for everybody. So I'm going to do a little bit of a recap now. I'd like to, again, thank Christy Holbrook, Amber Hamilton, Curtis Sutton, John Kiesel, and Mandy McIntyre for donating their expertise and their time today. So a few points. First, do a culture assessment. Get a reasonable understanding about what the strengths and weaknesses are for your company and how you guys can address mental health in your own communities. Keep an open door policy, like Amber does, but just be an open ear, because you never know when someone's going to talk. But a lot of people, especially those who might come from that old world mentality like I was raised up in, when someone gets to the moment where they have to talk about something, they have experienced a lot of bad moments where they think this is my last recourse, is now I have to talk to it. So when that moment comes for your people, be an open ear to them. Assess your own strengths and weaknesses. Understand where the parts are that you as an individual need to improve. Try to find those blind spots, because it makes you a better leader for your people. Know that some people are struggling, and be aware that for many, work is an escape. So you do need to be aware that your workplace is a place of safe haven for these people to come and feel like they're being taken care of, because they might not experience too much of that outside. Couple of resources that Mandy gave us. 988 is the number for your mental health hotline. Again, that's 988. And the website, constructionsuicideprevention.com. Again, constructionsuicideprevention.com for more resources about how you can address this in your place. And finally, and lastly, is build a supportive environment for your people at home and in the office. Again, I'd like to thank the panelists. And then real quick, we have a workforce development update. It is fall time, which means it is time to connect with career and technical education schools. Schools around the country are all back in session, even up here in Chicago. I think in Indianapolis, schools started as early as the beginning of August. So if you are a roofing company and you are interested with connecting and starting a career and technical education roofing program, there's a lot of work to do, but it hasn't been done anywhere. But fortunately, a lot of people on this call especially have donated the time and resources, and frankly, the juice is worth the squeeze. So if you're curious about what you can do in your community, please contact me, John Espenshade, at NRCA. That is jespenshade@nrca.net for more information. One more time for our esteemed panel: Christy Holbrook, Amber Hamilton, Curtis Sutton, John Kiesel, and the effervescent Mandy McIntyre. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us this month. Hope to speak to you soon, and take care of your mental health. Thank you.